Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Guest views. Coal helps keep the lights on by Kenneth Raposa. In Texas, the wind turbines are frozen, natural gas supplies are low, and multiple power plants are offline due to recent snow and ice storms. Around 25% of homes in Texas did not have power as the polar vortex slammed into the Lone Star State earlier this week, and that threatened to soar even higher. The only reason Texas wasn't completely dark? Coal. On Monday, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, ERCOT, the governing body that oversees the main power grid in Texas, told utility companies to start California-style rolling outages as demand has far outstripped capacity. ERCOT is its own grid. It is separate from the rest of the national grid in the country. ERCOT is powered by natural gas, 35%, and in second place, believe it or not, is wind, 25%. Coal is close behind at 22%. Solar is less than 5%. The good news for Texas is a sliver, around 10% of it is also powered by the Mid-Continent Independent System Operator, MISO. It oversees power transmission in 15 states. At least 50% of its electricity comes from coal. Some 7% comes from wind turbines. Solar is basically non-existent in the MISO zone. A lot of politicians and activists hate coal, but as a current base load, if we shut it down, a lot more people would be freezing for much longer than just an hour a day in Texas. ERCOT has been bracing for the worst once they saw the snow and ice coming their way. For days, they warned consumers that the Arctic blast could set a new all-time winter peak demand record. They were right. The previous winter peak demand record of 65,915 megawatts was set on January 17, 2018. It was broken on Valentine's Day evening, right around dinner time, reaching 69,150 megawatts. Texas has gone through this before, but it's done little to remedy the situation. It's increased wind power over the period, but in out-of-this-world winter weather, frozen turbines are useless. None of this is to suggest that coal shouldn't eventually be replaced by something else, but at a moment when the White House is cutting Keystone expansions and new oil and gas drilling leases on federal land, alternative sources of energy are losing their baseload support. When push comes to shove, coal is proving to be more reliable than natural gas. That this is true in Texas, of all places, should serve as a reminder that without a baseload, California-style blackouts will hit other states too, especially those that are reducing investments in oil and gas. The electricity demand due to cold weather was so serious, MISO, MISO, posted several alerts to warn utilities from Louisiana on up that sub-zero temperatures could lead to fuel restrictions during peak demand. Clearly, coal would not be enough to handle the grid if natural gas or other alternative sources were offline. For the foreseeable future, the best plan is an all-of-the-above fuel mix. Coal, natural gas, and nuclear power will still be needed to help with the heavy lifting when demand is high, the sun's not out, and the windmills are frozen. Kenneth Raposa is a veteran reporter and a former staff journalist for Dow Jones and The Wall Street Journal. He wrote this for InsideSources.com.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, March 8th. Athletics drives new UTPB chair. The story was written by Ruth Campbell. As a young man growing up in Israel, Moron Skiamama Sagiv was always around sports, and he particularly loved tennis. Throughout his life, he has studied sports and physiology intensely. Skiamama Sagiv is now passing on his knowledge as chair of the University of Texas Permian Basin Kinesiology Department. Skiamama Sagiv lived most of his life in a relatively small town of 20,000 people called Divan in Israel. Due to work, he moved to the more central area of Israel, closer to Tel Aviv. He then moved to Bismarck, North Dakota in 2014 to teach at University of Mary, a private Catholic university. He moved to North Carolina in 2018, where he taught at North Carolina A&T State University in Greensboro, North Carolina. Recently, on January 25th, his birthday, he started at UTPB. Skiamama Sagiv's academic degrees include a Ph.D. in exercise physiology from the University of Porto in Porto, Portugal, a master's in exercise science, and a B.Ed. in physical education from the Academic College at Wingate in Netanya, Israel. Skiamama Sagiv's father is a professor emeritus of clinical exercise physiology. Quote, "On holidays and during the summer when school was out, he'd take us to Wingate. Wingate has a lot of sports facilities. He would go to the equipment shack and sign for basketball or tennis, and I'd bring friends with me. My friends would actually fight over who would come with us to Wingate because it was just like sportsland, I guess. It was just fun. Or sometimes he'd use us to catch students cheating in his exams. He would teach courses of 100, 150 people, so he'd bring my sister and my brother and I, and we would work for him catching students. He'd give them a minute to lose all the cheat sheets, and then he would unleash his children on the students," Skiamama Sagiv said. "Wingate," he said, "used to be the capital of sports, where all the national teams practiced. They have since moved closer to the Tel Aviv area. Quote, "But when I grew up, everything was there, so you would have any facilities that you would want," Skiamama Sagiv said. When he was released from mandatory military service in Israel, he realized he always loved being physical and working with people. Quote, "I saw what huge influence my dad had on people by teaching them," Skiamama Sagiv said. He added that he always says his father has more knowledge in one of his toenails than Skiamama Sagiv had in his whole body. Plus, his father was his role model and mentor. Ready to move on from his job in North Carolina, Skiamama Sagiv said there was an opening for the kinesiology department chair. Quote, "The University of Texas obviously has its reputation, which is a great reputation. The state of Texas has a great reputation. I felt my career would be better somewhere else," he added. Skiamama Sagiv's academic leadership and management experiences include 5 years as dean, 2 years as associate dean, almost 5 years as department chair, and 4 years as program director, tenured and or tenure track. Notable responsibilities included the leadership and management of 69 full-time faculty, 13 administrative assistants, 24 adjunct faculty, and 4,500 students. Quote, "Dr. Skiamama Sagiv is joining the University of Texas Permian Basin's College of Health Sciences and Human Performance at such a vital time in its growth," Donna Buick, dean of the College of Health Sciences and Human Performance, said in a news release. Quote, "His experience and education will enhance the college's strategic planning to meet the university's mission and vision, while also serving the needs of our students and community. Dr. Skiamama Sagiv is perfectly suited to strengthen the kinesiology department in order to meet the education needs and future employment demands in the kinesiology field. He is dedicated to student success, and his past experience shows him to be a proven performer in this area. End quote. Some of his main goals are to ensure the sustainability of all academic programs, ensure best practices for students and faculty to ensure their success, revise curricula as needed to assure meeting the highest academic and professional standards related to regional and programmatic accreditation, streamline course offerings to ensure successful advancement through the curriculum, improve graduation, retention, and placement of students, improve assessment and evaluation of course and program student learning outcomes, improve academic advising, ensure every student and faculty member has multiple avenues and chances to be seen and heard, and promote diversity and inclusion, creation of a warm, accepting, and healthy campus experience, enhance existing ties to the community, and/or create new ones. Skiamama Sagiv said he is impressed with the facilities which are housed in the D. Kirk Edwards Family Human Performance Center. Quote, I respect people's money. I respect their time. And I know, especially in the U.S., that education is extremely expensive compared to outside of the U.S. I'm not wasting their time, he said. A Year in Pandemic. This is a guest column by Carol Cates, who is the Chief Nursing Officer at Odessa Regional Medical Center. In some ways, it seems like it's been forever, but in others, it has been the blink of an eye. We have been living in a pandemic world for a year now. Last year at this time, we had just started spring break. COVID-19 was in the news, but it was isolated in the U.S. Mostly, we were hearing about how patient numbers were exploding in Asia and in Europe. A year ago, we didn't even have the name COVID-19 yet. It was still a coronavirus disease. But by the end of the week, all of that had completely changed. We were in full lockdown, businesses were forced to close, and toilet paper became more precious than gold. I thought it would be good to look back at the year in pandemic, say thank you to more than a few people for their service in this year, and talk a bit about what we need to continue to do. The biggest lesson for me was not really anything new, it was more a reinforcement. I am so privileged to get to work with so many amazing people around this community. People who, during this pandemic, chose to step forward and put their lives on the line for others. At the beginning, we knew so little about this disease that healthcare workers didn't know if, when they went to do their work each day, if they would be able to go home to their family at the end of the day. Yet, those amazing people did that then, and a year later, they still do. I also cannot say enough about the teamwork we have in Odessa among healthcare providers and community leadership. The frontline people all the way to the executive suites at Medical Center Hospital, Odessa Fire Rescue, ECISD, UTPB, Odessa College, Texas Tech Health Science Center, the Chamber of Commerce, the city and county governments, the news organizations, and so many other community support organizations have worked together, meeting every week and working as a team to maximize the resources in our community. In this past year, there have been a whole lot of miracles. Discharging people home after they were critically ill with COVID was a celebration we were able to have more and more often as the year went along, because we did get better treating COVID as time went by, not only here, but nationally, as we learned more about this disease. But, unfortunately, we have also lost far too many people. Nationally, we are well over 500,000. That is more than all of Midland, Odessa, and the small communities in Midland and Ector counties combined. According to the Department of State Health Services website, we have had nearly 44,700 deaths in Texas and 336 in Ector County. The tragedy of COVID and the lives taken and lives forever affected cannot be overstated. I know I will never, ever be the same. We learned how much we can handle. I was speaking to the chief nursing officer of one of the critical access hospitals in the Permian Basin yesterday, and we discussed how a year ago we never would have considered taking some of the patients we have had to take over the last year because they were just so sick, but we kept them because there was nowhere else to send those people, and most of the time we were able to get them back home to their families. We learned as a community that our tradition of being survivors in the Permian Basin with the ups and downs of the oil business transmits to pandemics as well. We buckled down and kept going. That leads me to a final thought. COVID is decreasing, but it is not gone. We are discharging more patients from the hospital than we are admitting most days, but we are still admitting people. The rates are down enough in the community and the state that much of the pandemic restrictions are being lifted, and that is a great thing, but what we don't want to see is another spike. So please consider continuing to practice safe health habits. Wash your hands frequently. If you are sick, stay home. Social distance when you can. Consider wearing a mask when you cannot social distance, and get vaccinated when you can as well.
To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Gym after COVID vaccine. Dear Dr. Roach, after my wife and I received both shots of the COVID-19 vaccine, can we resume our gym classes and return to restaurants? We are both in good health. She is 68 and I am 70. GG. Answer. Not immediately. The vaccine is given in two doses, 3 or 4 weeks apart, and maximum protection isn't reached for 2 weeks or so after the second dose. Even then, the protection isn't perfect, 94 to 95%, according to the best studies for the currently available vaccines. Because there remains rampant transmission in all areas of the country, it is safest for you and your wife to continue to socially distance and wear masks. That's particularly important for people at a high risk of complications. Secondly, although the vaccine is excellent at reducing the risk of developing symptomatic COVID-19 infection, it isn't clear whether it stops asymptomatic infections. It is possible that vaccinated people may be temporarily infectious after being exposed without ever knowing they might be spreading the virus. Until it is known for sure that that is not the case, it is safer for others if you and your wife and all of us who have been vaccinated continue to wear masks and socially distance. It is disappointing that we cannot immediately return to our lives before the pandemic began, but the vaccine is only part of the solution. We cannot let up on the rest of the behaviors we need to continue to stop the pandemic.
Dear Abby, Mom longs to reunite family despite advice from friends. Dear Abby, I recently got into a huge fight with my boyfriend, which caused us to break up and me to move 2 hours away to stay with my mom. We have a beautiful 6-month-old daughter, and I still love him very much. He has begged me to come back and has shown me he still has feelings for me. Because of the past abuse from family and previous partners, I find it very hard to trust. I would love to go back, but I keep being told that it would be a mistake. I want to be a family again, but I don't want the people who tell me it's a mistake to be mad at me. Must I give in and stay away, or follow my heart and go back? Signed, Mixed Up in Missouri. Dear Mixed Up, I wish you had disclosed more about the fight that caused you to move away and take the baby. It must have been a doozy. Was he cheating, physically or emotionally abusive? If it was any of those, I don't think it's advisable to reconcile. Why are people advising you not to go back with him? Are their reasons valid? If they aren't, perhaps you should worry less about pleasing them and more about accepting responsibility for your own choices. Should you follow your heart? Yes, if it leads you and this man to a licensed couples counselor for help in resolving your problems before they get out of hand again, and deciding what would be in the best interest of your child. Dear Abby, my husband and I just got married. We have only have one problem, his ex-girlfriend. She used to be my best friend, but we fell out years ago. She hadn't contacted him in a long time, but since she found out we got married, she's been texting him begging to meet up. She messaged me once asking for all of us to get together, but she messages him to meet her alone and talk. He ignores her and shows me the messages. Should I step in and tell her to back off or ignore her as he is doing? I trust and love my husband, but she's becoming a pest and starting to annoy me and him. Signed, Troubled in Tennessee. Dear Troubled, because silence hasn't successfully conveyed the message that you and your husband aren't interested in renewing the relationship, he should be the one to tell her in plain English. If he doesn't do that, then you should. Dear Abby, last year was a tough one for me and my family. In addition to the COVID mess, I lost my best friend of 30 years, and one of my sisters-in-law lost her best friend of 50 years. We were talking about each of our losses recently, and she mentioned that she has no pictures of her and her friend together. I said the same about my friend. Right then, I decided that no matter how bad my hair, makeup, etc. looked, I wouldn't shy away from having my photo taken. Sometimes we don't realize how much a candid snapshot can mean until it's too late. Do you agree? Signed, Moment in Time in Texas. Dear Moment, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I have been guilty of photo dodging, and I am sure many others have been too. After reading your letter, I am resolving to do better in the future. Thank you.
Horoscope. Happy birthday for Friday, March 12th, 2021. Courageous, determined, and visionary, you're tough enough to withstand this year and to start on a new path or project that will be extremely successful. A risky venture pays off tremendously. If single, learn to trust fully, and you'll find your mate waiting in the wings. If attached, there is much unrealized potential still within your very tight bond. Express all of who you are. Aries loves the whole package. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. A positive day. Old and poignant memories surface. Past life regression might be useful to aid in understanding and accepting the present situation. A deep rapport with wild creatures and the spirit of wilderness prevails. Tonight, talk deeply with a mentor from your past. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th. Dynamic day. Friends include you in their plans. The expectations of others draw you into group activities or a prominent role within an organization. You might assume the role of mediator or overseer. Tonight, a light illuminates the future of an important relationship. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th. Dynamic day. Today puts a positive spin on your status and career situation. You'll be highly visible. A Zoom meeting goes especially well. Others express admiration and see you as a role model. Burn sage to cleanse your workspace. Tonight, excitement builds about your future. Constructive daydreaming. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd. A dynamic day. Today reveals new potentials on the horizon. Your luck is changing for the better. Select goals for the long-range future. Write a wish list. Information and new ideas are directed your way. Opportunities are likely to come about. Tonight, the world is your oyster. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd. A positive day. Today will be memorable. Be receptive to growth and change. Don't be surprised by the magnitude of changes brewing. It's a time of turning points. There can be a debate or some points of controversy to settle. Tonight, a partner needs convincing. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd. Dynamic day. Listen carefully and honor others' freedom of thought, even if you disagree. A long-standing partnership in business or love might be ending or a new one beginning. Your imagination and creativity are excellent. Tonight, an original idea solves a problem, and it's profitable. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, a positive day. Today affects your health sector. A dream or intuitive perception brings insight into fitness factors. Seek ways to ease a stressful daily schedule. A much-loved animal companion might require extra love and attention. Tonight, eliminate clutter and begin spring cleaning early. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, a dynamic day. Today gives you renewed energy and enthusiasm. You'll enjoy sports, creative projects, and hobbies. Love and admiration come your way. Children have much to share. Young people are sources of inspiration, pride, and hope. Tonight, a relationship becomes more supportive. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st. A positive day. Today generates mood swings in a loved one. Offer words of encouragement. Be a good listener. A visitor offers to help with chores or repairs. A household gathering is peppered with lively discussions. Tonight, ideas and stories that family share will inspire you. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, a positive day. Today indicates that you might look for a new vehicle or consider alternative travel and transportation arrangements. Mobility issues will be resolved satisfactorily. Hesitate if an acquaintance suggests a risky proposal. Tonight, if something just doesn't feel right to you, back off. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, a difficult day. Double-check suggestions others make regarding finances. Today's opposition could allow the actions taken by another to drain your resources. Trust your own judgment, particularly if something sounds too good to be true. Tonight, deep disappointment in a loved one. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th. A dynamic day. Today generates enthusiasm and motivation. Control impatience and anger, though. It is especially important to be constructive in your focus. Both love prospects and finances are very promising. A desirable relationship grows. Tonight, extra hours of sleep to catch up.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.